Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and today we have a packed show coming up for you. We're going to talk a variety of local and national sports. We got into this briefly yesterday. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we have the Major League Baseball Amateur Draft. And it's different this go-around than it has been in years past due to the coronavirus pandemic. Okay, so the draft will begin at 5 p.m. Slot money is going to be identical as to what it was in 2019. And it will remain fixed for 2021. Now, previously, bonus totals were set to increase by 3%. The assigned value for the top five picks, $8.4 million to the Tigers, $7.7 million to the Orioles, $7.2 to the Marlins, $6.6 to the Royals, $6.1 to the Blue Jays. Okay, undrafted players can sign for a maximum of $20,000. Again, only five rounds. So that changes things up drastically. I want to talk about Major League Baseball and the draft here on the show. Also, I want to talk about the idea of getting a baseball season. I guess there's progress. The Players Union proposed a 89-game season today, which is a little bit different than what the owners originally wanted, with 50 games and then to 76 games. And remember, the Players Union recently proposed 114 games. So now the Players Union is looking at 89 games and fully prorated contracts. The sticking point now, however, is going to be the postseason and the way Major League Baseball handles that. So again, a full conversation on Major League Baseball. We'll be joined by Bill Lasky, regular guest here on the show, former Major League pitcher, now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. I know he's itching to get back to work as well. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Bill. On the local sports front, we'll talk high school basketball. I know it's summer. We have baseball going on, softball this weekend. But it is an important time for high school basketball. Over the last two weekends, both Carbon and Emory have traveled out of the area for team camps, one in Enterprise, one in Manti. We talked to Coach Jeff Cincineros of the Emory Spartans before Emory traveled on the road. Today we're going to talk to Coach Jared Butler, and we'll get his assessment on how the Dinos performed over the course of the two team camps. That's coming up on the show next segment. That'll be the local sports feature today. And of course, we'll give you the local sports recap. As I mentioned, baseball is back in the Castle Country area. 5:15 tonight, Helper will take on Union at the American Legion Field. The Helper Legion tournament is back. It's been a little while since we've had one of those, but we have eight teams that'll be competing over the next four nights. And we have baseball from today all the way to Saturday at Ernie Gardner Field and Helper. So that's what's coming up on the local sports front as well. Let's take a look at the national headlines, and we will begin with boxing. It's one of the sports that we haven't had in a long time, right? We saw Shakur Stevenson return just a couple of days ago. He was dynamic, one of the top prospects in the world of boxing, delivered a body punch for a KO. Today we get some great news in the form of heavyweight fighting. Tyson Fury, who in my mind is the number one heavyweight in the world right now, has agreed to a two-fight deal with Anthony Joshua. It's the best heavyweight fight to be made at this particular time. I don't think there's any question. Promoter Eddie Hearn made the announcement today. Joshua and Fury have agreed to the basics of a deal to fight not once but twice in 2021. Now, there is no signed contract yet, but Tyson Fury even made comment to the announcement on his social media page today, talking about one hurdle. That hurdle, it's knocking out Deontay Wilder, who he is contracted to fight one more time. due to a rematch clause from their last fight. Now, the venues and dates have not yet been agreed to. And really, that's because, well, Anthony Joshua also has to defend his title in 2020. But the pandemic slowed everything like this down. And really, for the first time in a very long time, there's excitement in the heavyweight division in boxing. And Deontay Wilder, who was an undefeated American heavyweight champion, was destroyed by Tyson Fury the last go-around. And I'm pretty certain if they fight again, the same thing is going to happen. Fury is just the superior boxer. Now, the bronze bomber, Deontay Wilder, he packs a heavy punch. He's got that knockout punch ability. But the bottom line is, Fury is a better boxer. I would expect something similar if these two fight again. That fight took place back in February. It comes following a draw. And for the longest time, I was thinking the best fight to be made, it was Wilder and Joshua. And these two, they dragged their feet. Deontay Wilder, who's exciting, suffers a loss, and that changes the whole landscape. That's where boxing is so much different than UFC. Conor McGregor can get choked out by Nate Diaz. He can get choked out by Habib. People still want to pay to see him fight Marquee. He's going to headline a card. In boxing, one loss, especially when there's controversy or traffic within a division, you know, we're looking at three fighters in the heavyweight division, which has been a long time since we've been able to say that. Three that'll fight each other, at least. They're close as far as popularity and excitement in the ring. When one loses, it changes everything drastically. So the best fight to be made right now would absolutely be Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Joshua right now, the WBO, WBA, IBF heavyweight champion. He just defeated Andy Ruiz. Fury, again, he's going to fight Dillon White. It's a mandatory title defense in early 2021. So who knows what the date's actually going to be. But I will say this, it is great to have boxing talk that's relevant. I love boxing. It's one of my first loves as far as sports is concerned. I love talking boxing. And so anytime we get a major fight or a deal that's agreed to with marquee fighters, I think it's a great day for the sport. And that's a condensed look at what's happening right now in the national sports front. Again, we have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk local basketball. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. And we'll bring you a local sports recap here in just a moment. We'll continue on Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Farm Studios.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Remember when we didn't have any local sports talk? There was nothing going on. Well, now it's popping up a tad bit more frequently now that the restrictions are loosening up throughout the state. Here we are, middle of June, and it was a couple of big weeks for high school basketball. Both Carbon and Emory traveled on the road to Manti and Enterprise. Two camps in 2 weeks, really the only summer camps of the summer for both squads. We talked to Emory basketball coach Jeff Centenaris before. Today we're going to talk to Carbon High School basketball coach Jared Butler. He's going into year two of his tenure as head coach at Carbon High School. And coach, it's a pleasure to get you back on the show today. Thank you for the time.
Hey, thanks, Jordan.
Coach, I know it's been a little bit of a different time, especially as far as off-season workouts are concerned. I know that Carbon, like Emory, got to go to a couple of team camps, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But how has the COVID-19 pandemic messed with your original off-season plans?
Well, they're for that, what was it, a month or two or so, a month and a half. They, you know, we weren't allowed to get together at all, and we weren't even allowed to have any kind of practice or open gym, whatever you wanted to call it. So kids were kind of on their own, and so that was a lot different. I just, you know, just kind of encourage them to work out when they can and do as much as possible.
I know that's always difficult, though, right? You hope the kids are doing it, but at the end of the day, they are kids. So when you get a chance to look at the kids for the first time in the open gym, coach, were you pleased with the way they had at least maybe attempted to stay in shape?
Yeah, I think you could tell some of them that were rusty, that hadn't done a whole lot, and then some you could tell had been in a gym and shot. And, you know, I think all of them, for the most part, their legs weren't under them as much as they needed to be, but that's kind of how that all works, you know. But they get with it pretty quick. I didn't see much of a problem when we first got – going to our camp. So,
but looking at the team, coach, that you would expect to return this year, I know there were a lot of underclassmen, which is a great thing. You going into year two as head coach of this program, only to lose a couple of seniors off of last year's squad. Nonetheless, this team should have a lot of experience, and I'm assuming that was on display over the last couple of weeks.
The one camp only wanted us to bring 10 players, and they had us temperature check and go through a lot of different things. The other one had us sign papers and say, they're just covering themselves to things. But we were only able to bring 10 on the one, and so that's what we did with the second one as well. But there's three juniors that are pushing to be right in the mix of that as well. So we should have a lot of experience, and those juniors really shine at this camp, both of them. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. Coach, let's talk about some of the returners and some of the things that you're looking for from these kids. Obviously, year two, expectations rise a little bit. They're familiar with the system. They're familiar with your expectations and your coaching staff's expectations as well. So what's your message to these seniors who were juniors last year?
Mostly just an effort thing. That's one thing that the juniors are bringing is they just play hard. They play really hard every time they get on the court, and that's going to be something that will be needed. And I think that should be with all basketball players, you would hope, but sometimes some of them just kind of want to coast through things a little bit. So that's going to be the main thing. And then we're going to have to discuss roles and how we can best make us as a team gel. And that might be kind of hard sometimes for some kids, but I think it'd be fine to just go down and do whatever. But as a coaching staff, we can see who does what better and who might be better doing this, that, and the other as a rebounding role or as a, so we're going to have to look at some things and discuss things. And once we've chosen our team, really sit them down, each player, and kind of discuss what we're seeing that way. It might be, at the end of this little summer thing, it might be a thing of, are you fine as a senior seeing a junior take some of the minutes? And if it's not, then that might be a thing where we might have to cut someone. And there's our team right now with these seniors, there's four or five that are just the same exact type player. And it would be really hard to cut one over the other. And I think every one of them has something they can contribute to our team. So I would just as soon keep a deeper team this way and have a lot of experience. And that's one thing I noticed when we did go to the bench in any of these games, there wasn't a drop-off at all. So, and sometimes there was even a push. So we're trying to figure it all out. Last year I went through quite a few lineups trying to get to where we want. I don't want to have to do that. I hope that we can kind of see who we're going to go with and then have the others help. But we still haven't gotten that figured out as of this point yet. But we're going to go forward with it.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon High School basketball team. Coach, let's take it back to the Enterprise camp. Talk to me about some of the things that you saw there, some of the things you liked, and the outcome that your team encountered at Enterprise.
We've got the ability to run this year. We have some kids that want to just run the lanes, and when we take care of the ball and do it correctly, we really shine. We have some good shooters on the team. We've got a little bit more, I would say, with Preston, a little bit more inside presence with him wanting to play with his back to the basket, as well as he's a tough guard if he gets playing the way he can. Still got some things to work on the defensive end, and I would like to see him rebound a little better than he's been. But he works hard. He's a competitor. So it's going to be fun. But I really liked a couple of the times down there. We got in trouble with the Cedar team. They started to just shoot lights out. All five kids on the team hit a couple threes, one three at least. So we went to a man, and then they were penetrating around us, and it you know, they got a big lead on us, and then it was tough after that. But we've got some things to work on with our defense. We have a lot of things to work on, but for the most part, it was a good open camp. We won a couple and lost a couple, so felt pretty good about it.
Did you notice any big improvements between the Enterprise and Manti camp at all, Coach?
Not well. It's just a week later, and we practiced a couple of times. I had a talk with these young men. We played North Sevier, and we did okay. I think we won by 12 or 14. But then we ran into North Sampete, and it was a really rough game. They beat us by 20 or something. And, before the game, I heard the young men talking and saying, hey, this team beat us last year, the JV. I think they kind of psyched themselves out. I think we have a lot of work as a staff to figure out how to prepare them to mentally be tough, and just know that this is a whole different team we have, and they don't need to be psyched out. And I thought that's what it was. SMP is a solid team, but they're not a better team than us in that regard, is the way they looked the other night. And then I thought they responded after we had a discussion about that. The next morning we played Union, and it was the best game I've seen them play. They ran. I think we put 80 points on the board in a 20-minute running half, and it was a fun thing to watch. And they just ran and gelled and played and had fun. And it's a mental thing right now that we're going to have to work out.
Coach, I know that the remainder of the summer is different now, just by the way things happened at the beginning of the summer. So as far as team traveling camps, is that it for this Carbon team, or do you guys have anything else in the future here over the next month and a half?
Yeah, that's it. We had one more camp that was canceled because of this. And so we will have in July, I'll give them room to work out their baseball and football and everything, but we will have some practices. But as far as camps go, that's going to be it. So,
well, Coach, it's definitely good to start talking basketball again. I know it is only the summer months, but before you know it, that long winter sports season will be here, and it's always positive to be talking about the kids doing something now that we're back and able to do so. So I definitely appreciate you taking out the time once again to join us and to give us an update on the camps.
Yeah, it is, Jordan, and before we know it, it's going to be, and we're just hoping that school resumes and we can get back to somewhat of a normal life. But I am excited just looking at all the teams throughout our region, and these guys on our team need to understand we can be right in the mix. But I think a big part of it is going to be whether they believe that or not, and it's obviously our job to help them see and somehow do, because just looking around and seeing some of the teams, I was just, I'm really excited going into this year and what might happen if we can get things rolling correctly. So,
well, Coach, again, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us. Hopefully we'll talk again real soon. And in the meantime, enjoy summer vacation.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Jared Butler again of the Carbon Dino boys basketball team talking about the summer workout programs. Both teams, Carbon and Emory, wrapping up the summer workouts in Enterprise last week. We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to talk Major League Baseball. The players respond to the owners as far as the proposals that have been submitted. Plus, we'll talk the draft, Major League Baseball draft picking up today. That's coming up next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, set to talk some Major League Baseball. And, well, perhaps we're making some progress. We're getting some proposals going back and forth. I know I'm craving a Major League Baseball season, just like you are. And so is the man that is joining us right now, former big league pitcher, current analyst for the San Francisco Giants, Bill Lasky. And, Bill, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate you making more time for us.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much, and good afternoon. And let's just say hopefully all your listeners are safe and more or less just taking these steps slowly as we open up United States to everything that we can do in the business world and our active lives. But we do have to be careful. The rise of coronavirus is moving up at different times. Arizona, California had a spike. And, of course, all the protests and things like that are happening. We'll know a little bit more in a couple of weeks. But I think the American people need to take this serious as we have over the past months. And let's just take a little step back and hopefully everything gets going here, and especially the baseball season for 2020.
Especially the baseball season. I mean, I'm dying for some baseball right now, Bill. And as far as the negotiations going back and forth, last week the owners proposed something that was just completely asinine, a 50-game season. And I was of the mindset I would rather there not be a baseball season than play 50 games, especially with the way rosters are constructed. And then you take a look at the financial details of it. It was absolutely ridiculous all the way around. The players counter with 114 games. The owners a couple of days ago, proposed yet another, I believe it was 76 games, if memory serves me correctly. And now the players have countered back with an idea for 89 games. Bill, we're making progress, I guess, in a roundabout way.
I agree with you, Jordan. Just watching and reading and just listening to all the reports coming out that these proposals were sent with a 2 or 3 day window to get back to each other, and they're responding either by the end of the day or the next day. And that's kind of what I like, because it seems like both sides now are trying to figure it out. And the 89 game schedule looks like it's been agreed on both sides. The prorated salary has been agreed on both sides. So now the stumbling point is the playoffs and the World Series. And again, the owners are trying to weed back a lot of money out of it when it should be shared, or as it was before when the playoffs and World Series came and the shares were equally divided amongst the teams. So that seems like the stumbling point, but we're getting there, and we need to get there faster if we're going to get 89 games in, and they're talking second week of July is opening, and they do need to get into these cities, clean the stadiums, and get everything ready for spring training too.
Yeah, and again, talking about the 89-game schedule, it did bring the sides closer, because it's 25 fewer games than the players' union initially proposed, which was 114 at a full pro rate, full prorated dollar amount for the salaries. Now we're looking at 89, and so I guess each proposal has just been a negotiating point. I mean, that's really what this has been. But, Bill, I can't stress this enough. I am severely disappointed in Rob Manfred.
I agree with you. I have lost a lot of respect for him in some of the points that he talks about, how he brought the World Series trophy into a piece of metal, things that I fought for as a baseball player, and baseball players look to strive to win that World Series trophy, and some of them have never even had an opportunity like myself. But to degrade that World Series trophy for a baseball player that fought for it was just strike one for me, and it just took the taste out of my mouth. Is this is our commissioner of baseball that's supposed to bring baseball back to the American public and the world. I just don't understand his sides. It should be mutual, and it sure just sides, in my mind, to the owners, and I just don't appreciate that. And I hope down the road, Tony Clark, as well as MLB, when they go to renegotiate in 2021, somehow, some way, get Rob Manfield to wake up.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. As a former player, when you see the NBA put together its plan and you see the relationship and the trust that the players' union has with Adam Silver, I'm sure that for someone that's as closely associated to the game of baseball as you are, you probably envy that a little bit, don't you, Bill, seeing just the relationship that those two sides have in the NBA?
Oh, 100%. And the communication and just the ways and the steps that he got the players and the owners and everybody involved. And there is an argument that let's work together, and it seems like we need maybe a mediator or an arbitrator to figure this baseball thing out because the sides are stubborn. And to have basketball, NBA, finalize it and fix it and already have a plan for the end of July, I just think baseball's getting another black eye of how they're handling this, especially when you're looking at 30 million people that don't have jobs, that are struggling, and these millionaires and billionaires are fighting over tedious millions when the American public is suffering.
Yeah, Bill, I was very young during the 94 strike shortened season. So if you go back to it and you look at what happened there, how does it differ and how do you believe this will affect the popularity of baseball among the fans moving forward if, in fact, we get a very shortened season or we don't get a season at all? I mean, how are the two comparable or are they at all?
I don't think they are, because back in 94 and in the 80s, we were fighting over different things than just salary. We were talking arbitration, collusion. There was so many different things that were happening in the structure of baseball. This right here is 100% the coronavirus and safety and aspects of people living and dying, as well as having your family and relatives concerned about what are you coming home to possibly share with the family and kids. So this is, I think, is all about health and wealth as well as protection. If baseball doesn't come up and they don't play, it is going to be a huge hole that baseball is going to have a hard time climbing out of in the future.
Again, our guest right now is Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher and also an analyst now for the Giants. Bill, let's move away from the potential start or lack of a season, and I want to talk about the Major League Baseball draft. It is so different than the NFL or the NBA, a lot of nuances to how Major League prospects are selected, but coming up tonight, 5 o'clock, you'll be able to watch the first round of the draft, and I want to go back to the year you were drafted. The Kansas City Royals selected you in round number 2. What do you remember about that day, and how exciting is it for a kid to be selected on draft day in Major League Baseball?
Well, it's the epitome of what you want to do as a little kid. When you threw that first pitch or you watch that first Major League Baseball game, you want to be named. You want to be claimed by a team, an organization. I was drafted twice out of junior college by the Tigers, but it was the January draft. They don't have that anymore. I was still excited back then, but at the same time, the numbers aren't anything close to what they make now. But when I turned the Tigers down and went on to college and went on to Cape Cod League, I knew I had more eyes on me than just the local scouts. I grew up in Toledo. I had the local scouts from Detroit and Cleveland watch me all the time. Once I went to the bigger state of Cape Cod, then all the teams got to see us play there. And that opened up windows and doors where Kansas City selected me. But they had talked to me before the draft, as well as a lot of scouts do, to kind of get the point of interest. Are you going to sign? Do you want to go to college? Are you 100% committed if we draft you? Those are things you talk with your parents about. And when you're talking millions of dollars compared to hundreds of thousands of dollars when I got drafted, it was really, are you ready to go? Are you ready to commit? Is this something you want to do? And I wanted to. After my third year in college, when Kansas City drafted me, I was jumping just like a little kid on Christmas Day. And, of course, 100 phone calls from all your relatives, friends, fans, as well as all your teammates. It's an exciting day. And this year is going to be different because you only have 5 rounds. And then after 5 rounds, the most a person can get in a signing bonus is $20,000. So the first thing I think about, Jordan, is am I going to have my high school kid give up a scholarship for USC or Cal or give up a 4-year scholarship for $20,000? I think that's where you're going to get more high school kids pushing away from the draft unless they're in that first 5 rounds and go to college, because $20,000 a kid out of high school is not that much money when you can go get an education and play at a pretty wealthy baseball-oriented college and get more people to look at you.
No, no question. You're talking about anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 just in the benefits that you could get as a student athlete on scholarship. So, yeah, that's a terrific way to look at it. Bill, going back to when you were selected by the Tigers, was it difficult to turn that down, knowing that, okay, I was drafted by a Major League Baseball team, but I'm going to continue on, I'm going to play college ball? Was that difficult?
Well, Jordan, what was difficult was I watched the Tigers when I was 6, 7, 8 grade, you know, watching every move that Al Kalin and Mickey Lolich and Denny McClain did, and to turn down a Tigers offer when they were offering me $5,000 to jump out of junior college and jump right into spring training. And I thought I would let down my junior college coach as well as the team that I went through fall ball with, and I passed. And then the following year, they did it again, and they offered me $10,000. And at that time, I had 4-year schools lined up giving me scholarships, and I told my parents, no, for $10,000, I'm going to go to school. And I ended up, it was great because I ended up going to Kansas City, and Kansas City drafted me second, and I ended up getting $25,000, which back then I thought was $1 million. And Kansas City treated me so well going through the minor leagues, and then at the end getting traded to the Giants. I couldn't have asked for a better organization, and I still follow them. I have many of my friends that are coaches, and they are an extremely quality organization that right now are trying to put it together with youth and college kids. And I can see the Royals growing here in the next 2 to 4 years because all their studs that they drafted years ago are now in AA and AAA. And like my buddy Mark Davis said, wait till you see some of these pitchers. They got flamethrowers, and then you got guys that are really good quality, you know, control pitchers. He says, we got everything coming up, and this year might slow them down, but in a couple years, you're going to see the Royals back in contention.
Well, and you and I have had this conversation before, and I think it adds even more intrigue to the Major League Baseball draft today than maybe it would have 10, 15, 20 years ago. Bill, we're seeing 19-year-old kids actually called up to the bigs and making an impact, be it Ronald Acuna, be it Juan Soto. I mean, it's not out of the norm anymore to see a kid come up at 19, 20, 21 years old. That was out of the norm 10, 15 years ago.
100% true. And then you're getting opportunities, and sometimes those kids, you know, get one or two opportunities and they just can't do it, and mentally they lose it, and they never can establish themselves. I think today when you look at the draft, I think Arizona State first baseman, they're talking about, I don't have his name, I kind of know some of the schools, and they're talking about him probably being number one because he's so refined and swing. He doesn't have a large stride. Things that analytics are showing the right way of hitting is, and I think this whole draft is going to be 100% on analytics on everybody because you didn't get a season to watch these kids play because it was taken away from them. So I think the analytic grades are going to be measured by the talent, and we're going to see how many college kids get drafted in that first round compared to high school.
Yeah, speaking of the first overall pick tonight and the kid you're talking about coming out of Arizona State, Torkelson, for just a little bit of a, I guess, a history lesson or a little bit of what this kid's capable of, he broke Barry Bonds' home run record at Arizona State as a freshman, Bill.
Yep, and they're putting so many different players combined that he can be. And also the Arizona State kid can play outfield too, but they had so many good players there, they moved them to first base. So that's the option, too, that you have to look at, Jordan. Guys playing multiple positions. And you know as well as I do, that's the new grade for players. Can he play third, short, second? Can he play all three outfields as well as a DH? I think multiple position players are also going to be a grade up in this draft.
Bill Lasky, again, our guest right now. Bill, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, just on Twitter, at Lasky19. Really haven't been tweeting much. There's not much to talk about in the baseball world. I'm kind of being a fan right now and reading as much information as these top writers in baseball are talking about, following that, and then just kind of following some of the things the Giants are talking about in the draft today, and how are they managing what they want to push forward in these first five rounds as well as after. So right now, more or less being a fan like you and I, Jordan, and just kind of seeing where the steps of the 2020 baseball season, when do they start, when does spring training two go, and I'll be ready for that. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to baseball. I'm looking forward to talking some baseball with you as the season continues, and hopefully it'll start soon.
Absolutely. Bill Lasky, always a pleasure. Bill, looking forward to doing it again real soon. Have a great day.
You too, Jordan. Thank you.
Let's take one more commercial break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Here comes a comeback. The kid is back, back on track, and everybody loves a
comeback. Close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. Piggybacking off of that last segment with Bill Lasky, Travis, a report coming out now saying that Rob Manfred is, quote, 100% sure there will be a season in 2020.
Well, he has the final say, yes, right, because he can, you know, mandate these players to come. So if they don't come to an agreement, you know, around where the players want at 89, Manfred's probably going to make it a 48-game schedule.
89, 100%. I don't think that's going to be an issue. And again, just going off of what Bill just told us last segment, I don't think the regular season is the sticking point. At this point in time, now it's the postseason.
Yeah,
and how many teams you take into the postseason. Right? I was going over what a 50-game season would have looked like over the last 5 years. Completely different. Completely different. For instance, the Los Angeles Dodgers have dominated the NL West for the last 5 years. Won the NL crown, or the NL West crown the last 5 years. Under the 50-game season mark, they would have won one outright. You see what I'm saying? As far that's the best team in the National League West.
You just can't get a basis off 50 games.
You can't. You can't do it. That team was built to succeed over the course of a 162-game season, right? Again, depth matters over the course of a 162-game season. So it throws a different dynamic out. 89 games, I'm all right with that. I wanted to see something in the triple digits. We're not going to get a 100-game season. We're just not. The most we're going to get is 89. And again, this is the latest offer from the players coming in. So maybe it's possible. Rob Manfred, he spoke a little less than an hour ago as the draft is getting ready to start right now. He said there's going to be a significant move in the players' direction in terms of salary that has kept both sides apart, which means they're probably going to figure something out in the form of postseason. But it's nice to hear from Rob Manfred, isn't it?
Yeah, we needed to hear from him, and we finally did. So we're on the right track, I guess, as of today with his statements that said 100% we're getting baseball, so he's the commissioner. He has the final say.
He did tell Carl Ravitch that he would prefer to negotiate a new agreement because he did not believe that 89 games is realistic.
So we're going to get 50.
At that point, I say don't even play the season.
I'm with you. There's no point because you just can't get a gauge off a 50-game schedule.
Baseball cannot get out of baseball's own way. It just can't. I love the sport. I love the game. But it just always creates controversy at the major league level. The PGA Tour, we're good. NASCAR, we're good. Basketball, we're good. Football, I don't think we're going to miss anything in football, although there is a report that they may reduce the amount of preseason games this NFL season, which I think everyone is fine with. Players are fine with reducing the amount of preseason games. Now, against popular conversation, I will tell you that the more you decrease NFL preseason games, the more lackluster the contest will be throughout the first month. That's one of the things that gets overlooked in the NFL. Early season football, weeks 1, 2, and 3.
They're not the best.
It's not great football because starters don't play for nearly a month before the season starts. Maybe you see legit high-end starters one go-around. Maybe. That's it. One preseason game. Shorter preseason would allow for a longer ramp-up period, but unless you're having joint practices,
Which you can't.
That gets overlooked in the NFL. Anyone who tells me otherwise, the NFL does not have a great product throughout the first 2 or 3 weeks. It's exciting But when you look at the level of football that's being played in week three compared to week seven or eight, it doesn't compare to one another.
Yeah, those first 3 weeks, sure, it's bad football, like you said.
At times it can be, yeah. It really can be.
It's sloppy, it's not organized, it's just not good. And then, like you said, as the weeks move on later on,
it picks up.
It's when you get your great football.
Out of time on the show today. Tomorrow's going to be a fun day, though. We're going to have a great show. One of my favorite authors is going to join us again, Galen White. Galen has joined us a few times. I mean, I marvel at this guy's work. He is a baseball historian. He's got a great story to share with us tomorrow. Also, we'll catch up with a great friend of mine, Steve Bortstein. I'm looking forward to that conversation. So a great show lined up tomorrow. I want to thank Bill Lasky. I want to thank Coach Jared Butler. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.